Hi, and welcome to the latest episode of Extra Serving. I'm NRN's podcast producer, Holly Petrie, here to welcome you to the show. Today, I'm going to let Gloria explain who our guest is and the reason for his spot on the podcast today. Take it away, Gloria.
Hi, everyone. It's Gloria Dawson, senior editor at Nation's Restaurant News. This week on the podcast, I spoke to Kitchen United's Jim Collins. The CEO and I discussed how the restaurant industry will be forever changed due to the coronavirus and how restaurants can make some adjustments now to find success in this new normal. I hope you'll take a listen.
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. First, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to get a chance to talk with you. And we'll see if we can't figure out a way to help some folks.
Sounds great. Thank you. So first, let's talk generally. How's business at KU? How are things going? What's new?
Kitchen United, right from the start, was never a dull moment kind of place. We knew, as we got going that it was going to be hard work, but rewarding. We knew that, what drove us into this in the first place was a shift in consumer preference away from cooking at home toward, being able to order food in from, their favorite restaurants and wanting that food to be hot and fresh when it got there and the need to try and figure out how to make that work. And, obviously we never anticipated something like a global pandemic. Who would have ever, thought of something like that? But I think the way we've approached it at Kitchen United is just try to do your best to take it in stride, understand the impact on the restaurant community as a whole, not just at Kitchen United, and see if we can't, figure out how to help folks through it, whether they're in our space or not. And, so far, I think the team's doing great and our restaurant partners are, hanging in there and fighting a good fight.
Okay. So this might be an obvious question, but I imagine you've been getting some inquiries about working with you. Have those increased? Imagine.
It's been interesting. I think, We have actually seen an increase, as you would imagine, in restaurants that are reaching out to us, and that's great. We're focused right now on we have a couple of kitchens that are available in Chicago and a couple of kitchens that are available in Scottsdale. We have a facility that's about to open in Austin, and what we're working hard to do right now is reach out to the local community to get restaurants that are not able to operate in their existing locations, give them access to the Kitchen United location so that they can keep their businesses going, keep some folks employed, keep things moving. As you would imagine, I think our perspective and the perspective restaurant world has changed a little bit, as we go through the challenges created by COVID-19, and we're adapting. There are actually, as you would imagine as well, quite a few more long-term, sort of conversations with our bigger restaurant partners and some new partners about, what does the restaurant world look like on the back end of all of this? These are work from home days for the Kitchen United team, but they are not days that are not busy. We are very busy these days.
So are there a few kitchen spaces available, or are you kind of full in that regard?
As it happens, the kitchen centers are technically full in that the kitchens that we could provide on a short-term basis during this challenge are rented, but the people who are going to move into them because of travel restrictions you know, et cetera, just have delayed that move-in date. And so we have kitchens that are sitting unused, and we know there's folks who could use them. And so we're just trying to, you know, figure out how, again, like I said, on a short-term basis, to make them available in ways that might be helpful.
I see. Yes. I mean, the trickle-down effect of, you know, these lockdowns and closures is so widespread.
Significant.
So you mentioned that you kind of were having some bigger conversations, and I know you don't have a crystal ball, but you've been in this industry for a long time. How do you think this is going to change? Let's first talk about the consumer. You know, how is it going to change how the consumer interacts with restaurants? Technology.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things. I think, you know, one of the things that we knew about consumer behavior coming into this was that consumers who tried getting food delivered at home liked it and tended to adopt it and reuse it. It was already for a lot of consumers in the U.S., and the U.S. is way behind a lot of other countries in the world on this, but it was already becoming for a lot of consumers in the U.S. kind of a weekly habit. You know, it's like Tuesday night is our takeout night. What this has forced is a lot more people trying it. And so I think that for all of the participants in this kind of evolution, I don't say revolution, but evolution toward more off-premise dining, I think all the participants in that space are, you know, experiencing an uptick and will likely see that continue on the back end of, you know, what we're going through here. So, you know, if I had a crystal ball, there's a ton of stuff I would have done differently in my life. But I do think we will continue to see a habitual use of off-premise dining for people who just would prefer not to cook at home.
Yeah. Are you seeing anything that you can gain any insight from sales in the past week?
Yeah, and you know, it's just funny. We're working hard to try and figure out how to get the word out to restaurants, because there's a lot of restaurants that are really struggling, even with just connecting with their existing consumer audience in pickup and delivery. And you know, I think the biggest things we're seeing that are you know, really keys to success are, you know, kind of three different things. One, limited menus do better than giant menus. And restaurateurs, I know, struggle with this. You know, you've got pride in all those dishes you've got on your menu. They're all great. Every single one of them is great. But the thing is that right now the consumer's ordering form factor, the menu that they're looking at is their mobile phone. And if you have 1,000 things on the menu and it takes them 5 minutes to page through it, you're hurting yourself. You're also frankly hurting yourself in your kitchen. You're overusing labor. You're overusing supply. You know, right now is the time to really refine that menu and get it down to something that's relatively small. You do that, I can give you a stone guarantee you'll see an increase in order volume. The next thing is family meals. Probably one of the, you know, biggest upticks we're seeing in order volume is family meals, and even people that are packaging like a family meal that you get that's hot and fresh and ready to go for tonight. And then almost like a meal kit from a restaurant that's a meal that you can get, that you can warm at home or prepare at home for tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. You know, then I think the final thing is just making sure that you have as many channels open as you can. You know, we have some restaurants that have exclusive partnerships or whatever in the marketplace in the marketplace community, and in some markets across the country that can work, but in many the market fragmentation between the various marketplaces is just too great, and you're limiting when you have that exclusive partnership, you're limiting the number of consumers you can reach. And so even if it's just temporary, adopting sales through the other marketplaces will give you access to more consumers, and we think that's really important. We also, quite frankly, think it's extremely important for people to figure out how to open their own channels, and whether that's working with somebody like a ChowNow, or if you're lucky to be able to work with somebody like Olo, et cetera. These companies are all very busy right now, but making that effort and having access directly to consumers so that you're keeping a bigger piece of that revenue dollar, all these things are important. They're topics we talk about all the time anyway. They're just all that much more important now.
It makes a lot of sense. I think that people are just, they're going to different spots. You're going to like their country homes, or they're going to, different family members. I know I went from New York to Ohio to be with my sister-in-law, and I'm, looking for places that have, meals we can take out because we don't have a full kitchen here. I think being accessible is half the battle, in a time like this.
It really is. It's that. And then, I think the other big things we're seeing are, look, the Payroll Protection Act, the PPP that Congress passed a couple weeks ago. We're all a bit skeptical, right, of, the government trying to help us, particularly in the world of small business. It's always seemed to translate in the past that, when the government helps you, it always ends up hurting, a little bit more on the back end. I think this is one of these interesting occasions where they got an awful lot right in this package. And for restaurants, and for particularly for restaurants that had been a going concern for more than a year, restaurants that have had to deal with reduction in payroll, et cetera, as an impact of all of that we're going through, they made this thing easy to apply for. They made it very practical to apply for it, and the amount of money that's available to you if you go back and do the homework and figure it all out and do it right. And KitchenUnited set up a resource on the KitchenUnited website where you can go in and you can actually get like the 5-step guide to applying for your package, sort of all this stuff. That can make a huge difference for people if they don't give up, apply for it, see what happens. It's not that hard, right? And then I think the other thing is understanding that a lot of this we have to adapt, right? You can't. This is not business as usual. Your community needs you, but they don't need you the same way. They need you in a different way. And so I love reading these stories about, restaurants like Alinea in Chicago and Madison in Levin Madison, New York, and, these giant, Michelin star restaurants that are doing affordable takeout and serving the healthcare community, et cetera. I don't think this is why they're doing it, but I think it's super smart for two reasons. Number one, they can help, and a lot of folks need help right now. But number two, when you help, you make yourself relevant to the community you're going to continue serving on the back end of this, right? You know, and so even in my own small restaurant, and certainly with our KU kitchen, you know, with our KU restaurant partners, you know, figuring out ways to help them help and figuring out ways to help your own community, makes you relevant, gives you a chance to connect to your community at a deeper level than really probably you ever could before, right? In our community, for whatever reason, people can't get eggs. They can't get pasta. They can't get rice. They can't get all these things that, you know, I took a picture of the egg section at Restaurant Depot, you know, when I was out there 2 days ago, and Restaurant Depot is overrun with eggs. But, you know, look, a consumer can't deal with 15 dozen eggs. But guess what? A restaurant can, and we can sell them a dozen at a time to consumers who can't get them anywhere else. And, you know, a restaurant tour down the street said, well, yeah, but you can't make any money doing that. You know, you make a dollar when you sell a dozen eggs. You know? And I laughed and I said, yeah, but you make a friend, you know, people need it, right? We can even still get toilet paper, right? So you can order toilet paper from our restaurant right now. One of our restaurant partners, Doghouse at Kitchen United, is doing the same thing. They've launched kind of a online store, and you can get, you know, all kinds of different staples, you know, through Doghouse. These are examples of restaurants staying relevant and serving their communities in ways that I think will pay big dividends, that are helping right now, but will pay big dividends as we come out of this on the other side.
That's great. I think you made a really great point, and I think it's sometimes hard to think of yourself as something else, you know. And I think that's probably the same struggle that some of these restaurants go through when they think about doing takeaway at all. It's, you know, I'm a sit down restaurant. I don't sell eggs. I don't sell toilet paper. But you know, you're going after the consumer's needs the way you've gone after the consumer's needs with takeaway and off-premise dining. And this is just another way of giving the needs. The needs are a little more desperate, toilet paper, you know, but they're needs, and restaurants are finding ways to fulfill them. And it's great. And yeah, like you said, don't give up.
That's it.
I think that's it. Well, thank you so much. I can't imagine how busy you are now and that you've given us this time. We really appreciate you coming on and speaking to us today. And I think you've given some operators a lot of hope.
Well, look, I appreciate you guys. I know it's hard, you know, to be out there and try to figure out how to, you know, keep it all going in every sector. And so I'm grateful for the chance to have taken this time with you, and look forward to having more fun conversations and more fun time. And if anybody is interested, you know, feel free to reach out to us. Public email address, the easiest way to get a hold of us is just go@kitchenunited.com. If you want to talk to us about the kitchens in Chicago, Scottsdale, or Austin, let us know on that. And outside of that, just keep going, y'all. We can get through it. We can do it.
Okay. Be well. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Extra Serving. We'll be back next Friday with a new interview just for you.